every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday. Hello, I am Michael D. Ballard, the marriage pastor. I'm a love, sex, and attachment expert for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to be your guide to take you on your heart's journey through this crazy thing called love. So if you're single and ready to mingle, if you're already hitched, but somehow your love is in the ditch, I'm going to help you remix your love life for the kingdom of God. So I hope you're ready. Let's jump right into our lesson. So let's go ahead and add you. Good people there we go. Oh, not that one. Man, I am fired up. I hope you guys are fired up. Make sure you guys go ahead. Like I always say, make sure you remove all distractions. Right, you don't want to distract yourself from getting what God is giving you, nor do you want to distract other people, especially for those that are going to be working in a small group setting today. And if you are, I want to send a heartfelt thank you to all of those that chose my program as a resource. For some, this is a source. And so I want you guys to understand that I'm honored that you made me a part of your church, your organization, or your small group. And so here we go. There we go. Of course, you know how technology is when you're getting ready to do something amazing for God. I believe we are good to go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you guys for your patience and being a part of this organization. And where your heart's at, where your heart's at. Shout out to everybody that's a part of my Faithful Hearts community. We're standing on that Genesis 1:26, which is our foundation scripture. If you are not a part of the Faithful Hearts community, you will have an opportunity to join. And I am looking forward to the exclusive content that you get. Okay, so we are on, for all of those that have been following, we are in lesson two. I taught lesson one already. Go back, make sure you watch that if you haven't already. Lesson two, it is called Humanity as the Pinnacle of God's Love and Creation. Again, lesson two is Humanity as the Pinnacle of God's Love in Creation. So I'm going to be excited to share with you what God has given me, and we're going to tie all into your relationships. Remember, if you have not done so already, make sure you download your workbooks. There we go. Download your workbooks. Of course, there's two types of workbooks. You have those that are for the individuals. Those are the people that are taking the classes, whether you're in a small group or doing it by yourself or with your spouse. Then we have the facilitators workbook that has extra goodies for those that are going to be leading the small group or leading a large classroom. Okay, you're going to have extra reflection question, icebreakers. So make sure you guys are following along. And if you are a facilitator, I want to speak to your students. Don't give the facilitator a hard time. Okay. Pray, work together as a team. Make sure you guys are doing those questions together, the call to actions, whether you're in a group or doing it individually, so that you can take your love to the next level. Okay, remember, you get that from MichaelDBallard.com. All of the links are in there. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right in. As always, we want to go with a story. Okay, I want you guys to listen to the story, and I want you to think about how this story relates to your own life, or your personal love life, or maybe someone you know, okay? This story is called Reflections of Love. Reflections of Love. In a bustling city, there lived two young professionals, Maya and Lucas. Who had been close friends since college. Maya, a thoughtful and caring nurse, and Lucas, a compassionate social worker, often met to discuss their day-to-day experiences and the impact they hoped to make in their respective fields. One evening, as they walked through a lively city park, they found themselves discussing Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. I love that. Genesis, you see, that's our foundational scripture. The scripture that describes humanity as being made in God's image. They pondered what this meant for their relationships, both with each other and with those that they serve in their profession. Maya shared an experience from her hospital rounds where she had to care for an elderly patient who was often overlooked. She reflected on how treating the patient with dignity and love reminded her of the intrinsic value of every person, as everyone is a reflection of God's image. Lucas related to this in his work, where he often encountered individuals from challenging backgrounds. He realized that recognizing the divine image in each person had influenced his approach, encouraging him to be more, to interact more with empathy and understanding, fostering deep connections. Their conversation led them to a deep realization about their own relationship. They acknowledged that seeing each other and their respective callings through the lens of Genesis 1:26 and 1:27 enriched respect and appreciation for one another. They understood that being created in God's image meant that they were inherently designed to love and to be loved deeply and authentically. This insight transformed how they viewed their interactions, not only with each other, but with everyone that they encountered. It encouraged them to nurture relationships founded on respect, empathy, and genuine care, reflecting the pinnacles of God's love in creation. Maya and Lucas' friendship deepened, becoming a testament to the kind of loving, meaningful relationship that can flourish when we recognize and honor the divine image in each other. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just understanding, and if we actually walk with the understanding that we are encountering God's image when we meet people. You know, the Bible talked about there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to say, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was locked up, you didn't visit me. And people, the religious people said, well, when were you locked up? When were you hungry? When were you naked? When, you know, and he says, when you don't do that to the least of them, you've done that unto me. Imagine if you cheated the person that you're in a relationship with like you are in the relationship with God. How much more would you treat that person if you saw them as being married to God or being in a relationship with God? Would you love them? Or would you curse them out? Would you be sarcastic? Would you hit them? Would you really treat them the way you're treating them if we really saw that person? Well, let me correct myself. Not as God, that's blasphemous, but as God's image, as a mini copy of God. I have to correct that because we live in this era, in this world where people have a God complex and they walk around like they are God. No, but you are God's image. And so imagine if we really treated people, understanding that they are a representative of God and that he sees how you treat them as how you treat him. Our scripture is Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Again, this is our key scripture. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over the wild animals and over all the creations that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. This says a lot, especially in this day and age where we struggle with identity issues, and when we try to take one thing and call it another. But God was very particular on how he made us. Male and female, he created them. Two genders. Two models, but the same functionality. The image of God. Let's break that down. Made in God's image. Now, in this pivotal scripture that will deeply transform our understanding of love in several ways. Made in God's image, the assertion that humanity is created in God's image, I believe this is in Greek. It is amigo Deo, I-M-A-G-O, space D-E-I. I believe it's pronounced amigo D. I may be pronouncing that wrong, but that's one of the translations of God's image. It implies that every individual inherently possesses qualities reflecting of God's character, such as the capacity for love, compassion, forgiveness, and rationality. Foundational belief suggests that to love and be loved is an intrinsic part of divine design. That's what it means to be made in God's image. We have the capacity. So it doesn't mean that you are God. It just means that you have the capacity for his characteristics. The rational nature of love. When it says, let us make mankind in our image, it suggests a relational, oh my goodness, forgive me, I'm reading it too fast, a relational nature of love. So what that means is, it suggests that the relationship with the Godhead, often interpreted in the interaction between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this reflects the idea that love is inherently relational and not solitary. Okay. So when we talk about the relational nature of God, it is natural for us to want to have relationships with people. Now, that doesn't necessarily always mean that it's in an intimate way, right? So when we talk about let us make God, it's not good for man to be alone. It can also be stated it's not good for mankind to operate in solitude. So God is calling us. We're relational beings by how we're designed. So it is not good for us to be in situations where we exclude ourselves. Whether you are in a intimate relationship or not, God did not create you to walk this earth alone. He created you to be in relationship with others. That is a part of the nature of love. You see, in order for love to be love, it needs something of the same value to have the capacity to love it back. So you can love a hot dog, but that's not the love that God is talking about. Because real love has to love something of the same value and has to have the capacity to love you back or even reject you. But because a part of love is a choice. So if you're loving someone then they don't have a choice to love you back. It is not the actual nature, the true nature of what love is supposed to be. Let's talk about equality in respect and love. See, the creation of male and female in God's image speaks to the equality of all people. Remember, I just said it has to have, it's the equality factor of having something to love that has the same value in the capacity to love you back. So you can love your car, but that's not the love that God is talking about, because the car doesn't have the capacity to love you back. You can love your animals, and I think some people feel like an animal loves them in a deeper capacity than a human can, but that's not true, because that dog or that animal is dependent upon you. So when something is dependent upon you, it does still doesn't have the same equality factor to be able to love you back wholly in the fashion that God is creating us to love. And that's why he created, this thing just jumped in my spirit. That's why he created for man, woman. Oh, revelation. He created for man a woman because he created, that's why he took the bone of Adam and put it in Eve, because it was symbolic of something having the same substance as Adam, which means it gave Eve the same capacity and value to be able to love Adam back, because we can't love God the way God loves us. We're not on that level. See, that's why God has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because of the relational aspect of those three. They're the same. So the capacity to love is on the same playing field. So when God created a man, he created a part of our God-like nature, or a part of the image that's within us. Oh my God, this thing is just good. Think about it. Because God created us in his image and in his likeness and in his character, when he created the male, he had to create a female out of the male. That's why he didn't go into the dirt to recreate Eve. He went into Adam. Why? Because we were created out of God, right? So what God had to do was create a being out of us so that it can have the same capacity to love us on the same level, so that we will understand how it is to have a relationship with God, because we can't love God on his level. He's too big. But he created a woman or another human in the capacity and in the same essence, so that, and also separate with their own separate will, their own separate desires, their own separate motivations, so that when we come back together, we have a capacity to love each other on the same level. That makes love whole. And that's why marriage is such a great representation of the divine love that we have for God. So that's why when we talk about identity issues and confusion and things of that nature, and that's why the enemy hates marriage so much, because it is a humanistic example of the divine love that we have with God. He gave that as example within our spouse. That's why you have to love, the Bible says, love your spouse as you love yourself. Because you're still putting that love on the same equal playing field. I hope that makes sense. I hope you got the revelation of the importance of why Eve was made out of Adam, or a piece of Adam, so that it has the same essence as Adam, so that when he brought Eve back to Adam, it has the same capacity to love each other on the same level. Because we're made out of the same stuff. I hope that went to the next level for you to understand why marriage is so powerful and means so much to God. Let's talk to the stewardship and love. The mandate to rule over other forms of life introduces the concept of stewardship. Again, this is another part of our nature, having something to steward over. In terms of love, this translates to a responsibility to care for and nurture not only relationships, but also the world around us. Love, therefore, extends beyond romantic or interpersonal relationships and encompasses a broader intrinsic care for creation and community. Creation and community. In other words, what they're saying is a part of love is also stewardship. See, taking care of something is another aspect of showing that you love it. That's why God takes care of us. Because when you take care of something, it shows that you love it. And it also is breaking down that love goes beyond just the physical relationship of another person, but it also goes to the stewardship of those things that God give us. So, for example, when I remarried my wife, and this doesn't happen, but I buy my wife a Mercedes, right? I take my hard earned capital, I buy her a Mercedes, and I give it to her. If she doesn't take care of that car, treats it horribly, I'm going to look at that as a reflection on how she loves me. So anytime your spouse gives you something out of their hard-earned love and you don't value it and take care of it, that's a reflection most times they will feel of how you value them. So stewardship is also connected into how we love our spouses. Let's go to diversity and union. Diversity and union. Now, the creation of humanity in diverse form, male and female. We talk about the diverse form of unity, yet unified in the same divine image, suggests that love thrives in diversity. Oh, glory to God. And this is why when God is saying, when you marry someone, you marry someone that's different than you. Most times, that diversity becomes a source of conflict or turmoil in relationships. That's what the enemy wants you to think. But God is saying that there is diversity in the way that we are loved. Because if you love something that's exactly like you, that you don't get a reward for loving something that's exactly like you. It's when you go in the diversity of someone else that challenges us to operate in the love that God is calling us to operate in. So then coming together to work together as one. That's why they say marriage is a mystery. It's a mystery. So the diversity that you fight about and that we complain about, that same thing God is saying, no, that's also a part of love. That's why I made them male and female. I made them diverse from each other. All of this is a part of God's divine plan. And it's all wrapped into this crazy thing called love. Who? Your diversity is not your adversity. I want to say that again. Your diversity is not adversity. It is a reflection of God's love. And an opportunity to reflect God's love. Which takes us to reflecting God's love. I promise you, when I said it, I wasn't even paying attention to the next point. But that's a beautiful segue. Reflecting God's love. Being made in God's image means that our expression of love is a reflection of God's love. In relationships, this encourages us to love unconditionally, to forgive, to show grace, and to seek the best for others, just as God does us. In summary, Genesis 1:26-27 provides a profound basis for understanding love from a biblical perspective. This is why we need the word of God in order for us to truly understand intimate relationships. This is why God has given me divine love lessons to take scripture to be able to merge those things into our understanding of love and for us to develop holistic relationship skills. It also suggested that love authentically is to reflect the very nature of God, to engage in respectful and equal relationships, to care for one another, to care for the world around us, and to embrace the love for humanity, as well as our partners. This is the essence of love and creation. I want you guys to make sure you do your reflection questions, your call to action, and understand how creation is symbolized and metaphorically used in how you are connecting with your spouse. Remember, guys, download your Return on Love assessment if you haven't done so. Of course, you go to michaeldbowder.com. You download it. This assessment is designed for those to help them to decipher through the noise in their relationships. For all of those who've already done it, and if it has been helpful, please send me an email. I would love to use that testimony to encourage other people to also take this assessment. And remember to share this post with others and help me on my journey to remix love for the kingdom of God. Again, to all my Faithful Heart community members, it's been a pleasure like always. If you're not a member yet, you can also become a member. Once you download that assessment, I will send you another link so that you can join the community or simply just subscribe to our Faithful Hearts community YouTube channel. This is your boy, Michael D. Bowder, also known as the Marriage Pastor. And again, it has been my journey to help you. I will see you on the next teaching as we go to the third lesson. I want you to know that you have been a blessing. Remember to love authentically, honestly, and guard your heart, because you only get marriage on this side of earth. You want to make sure you're doing it God's way. Love you with the love of God. I'll see you next time. Hello, I am Michael D. Ballard, the marriage pastor. I'm a love, sex, and attachment expert for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to be your guide to take you on your heart's journey through this crazy thing called love. So if you're single and ready to mingle, if you're already hitched, but somehow your love is in the ditch, I'm going to help you remix your love life for the kingdom of God. So I hope you're ready. Let's jump right into our lesson. So let's go ahead and add you, good people, there we go. Oh, not that one. Man, I am fired up. I hope you guys are fired up. Make sure you guys go ahead. Like I always say, make sure you remove all distractions, right? You don't want to distract yourself from getting what God is giving you, nor do you want to distract other people, especially for those that are going to be working in a small group setting today. And if you are, I want to send a heartfelt thank you to all of those that chose my program as a resource. For some, this is a source. And so I want you guys to understand that I'm honored that you made me a part of your church, your organization, or your small group. And so here we go. There we go. Of course, you know how technology is when you're getting ready to do something amazing for God. I believe we are good to go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you guys for your patience and being a part of this organization. And where your heart's at, where your heart's at. Shout out to everybody that's a part of my Faithful Hearts community. We're standing on that Genesis 1:26, which is our foundation scripture. If you are not a part of the Faithful Hearts community, you will have an opportunity to join. And I am looking forward to the exclusive content that you get. Okay, so we are on, for all of those that have been following, We are on the foundation, the Foundations of Love series. This is part two. It's a three-part series. So this is part two. The first part is understanding agape love. This one is the found, it's called Love and Creation. Love and Creation. So this is part two of a three-part series. And we are in part two, Love and Creation. And today, it is not lesson one. I apologize. I'm telling you, technology sometimes give you the runaround. But I love it because you have to be able to push through no matter what. We are in lesson two. Lesson two. I taught lesson one already. Go back. Make sure you watch that if you haven't already. Lesson two. It is called Humanity as the Pinnacle of God's Love and Creation. Again, lesson two is Humanity as the Pinnacle of God's Love in Creation. So I'm going to be excited to share with you what God has given me, and we're going to tie all in to your relationships. Remember, if you have not done so already, make sure you download your workbooks. There we go. Download your workbooks. Of course, there's two types of workbooks. You have those that are for the individuals. Those are the people that are taking the classes, whether you're in a small group or doing it by yourself or with your spouse. Then we have the facilitators workbook that has extra goodies for those that are going to be leading the small group or leading a large classroom. Okay, you're going to have extra reflection question, icebreakers. So make sure you guys are following along. And if you are a facilitator, I want to speak to your students. Don't give the facilitator a hard time. Okay. Pray, work together as a team. Make sure you guys are doing those questions together, the call to actions, whether you're in a group or doing it individually, so that you can take your love to the next level. Okay. Remember, you get that from MichaelDBallard.com. All of the links are in there. All right. So let's go ahead and jump right in. As always, we want to go with a story. Okay. I want you guys to listen to the story, and I want you to think about how this story relates to your own life, your personal love life, or maybe someone you know, okay? This story is called Reflections of Love, Reflections of Love. In a bustling city, there lived two young professionals, Maya and Lucas. One had been their close, who had been close friends since college. Maya, a thoughtful and caring nurse, and Lucas, a compassionate social worker, often met to discuss their day-to-day experiences and the impact they hope to make in their respective fields. One evening, as they walked through a lively city park, they found themselves discussing Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. I love that. Genesis, you see, that's our foundational scripture. The scripture that describes humanity as being made in God's image. They pondered what this meant for their relationships, both with each other and with those that they serve in their profession. Maya shared an experience from her hospital rounds, where she had to care for an elderly patient who was often overlooked. She reflected on how treating the patient with dignity and love reminded her of the intrinsic value of every person, as everyone is a reflection of God's image. Lucas related to this in his work, where he often encountered individuals from challenging backgrounds. He realized that recognizing the divine image in each person had influenced his approach, encouraging him to be more, to interact more with empathy and understanding, fostering deep connections. Their conversation led them to a deep realization about their own relationship. They acknowledged that seeing each other and their respective callings through the lens of Genesis 1:26 and 1:27 enriched respect and appreciation for one another. They understood that being created in God's image meant that they were inherently designed to love and to be loved deeply and authentically. This insight transformed how they viewed their interactions, not only with each other, but with everyone that they encountered. It encouraged them to nurture relationships founded on respect, empathy, and genuine care, reflecting the pinnacles of God's love and creation. Maya and Lucas' friendship deepened, becoming a testament to the kind of loving, meaningful relationship that can flourish when we recognize and honor the divine image in each other. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just understanding, and if we actually walk with the understanding that we are encountering God's image when we meet people. You know, the Bible talked about there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to say, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was locked up, you didn't visit me. And people, the religious people said, well, when were you locked up? When were you hungry? When were you naked? When, you know, and he says, when you don't do that to the least of them, you've done that unto me. Imagine if you treated the person that you're in a relationship with like you are in a relationship with God. How much more would you treat that person if you saw them as being married to God or being in a relationship with God? Would you love them or would you curse them out? Would you be sarcastic? Would you hit them? Would you really treat them the way you're treating them if we really saw that person? Well, let me correct myself. Not as God, that's blasphemous. But as God's image, as a mini copy of God. And I have to correct that because we live in this era, in this world where people have a God complex and they walk around like they are God. No, but you are God's image. And so imagine if we really treated people, understanding that they are a representative of God and that he sees how you treat them as how you treat him. Our scripture is Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Again, this is our key scripture. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over the wild animals and over all the creations that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. This says a lot, especially in this day and age where we struggle with identity issues and when we try to take one thing and call it another. But God was very particular on how he made us. Male and female, he created them. Two genders. Two models, but the same functionality, the image of God. Let's break that down. Made in God's image. Now, in this pivotal scripture that will deeply transform our understanding of love in several ways. Made in God's image. The assertion that humanity is created in God's image. I believe this is in Greek. It is amigo Deo, I-M-A-G-O space D-E-I. I believe it's pronounced amigo D. I may be pronouncing that wrong. But that's one of the translations of God's image. It implies that every individual inherently possesses qualities reflecting of God's character, such as the capacity for love, compassion, forgiveness, and rationality. This foundational belief suggests that to love and be loved is an intrinsic part of divine design. That's what it means to be made in God's image. We have the capacity. That so it doesn't mean that you are God. It just means that you have the capacity for his characteristics. The rational nature of love. When it says, let us make mankind in our image, it suggests a relational, oh my goodness, forgive me, I'm reading it too fast, a relational nature of love. So what that means is, it suggests that the relationship with the Godhead, often interpreted in the interaction between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This reflects the idea that love is inherently relational and not solitary. Okay. So when we talk about the relational nature of God, it is natural for us to want to have relationships with people. Now, that doesn't necessarily always mean that it's in an intimate way, right? So when we talk about let us make God, it's not good for man to be alone. It can also be stated it's not good for mankind to operate in solitude. So God is calling us. We're relational beings by how we're designed. So it is not good for us to be in situations where we exclude ourselves. Whether you are in a intimate relationship or not, God did not create you to walk this earth alone. He created you to be in relationship with others. That is a part of the nature of love. You see, in order for love to be love, it needs something of the same value to have the capacity to love it back. So you can love a hot dog, but that's not the love that God is talking about. Because real love has to love something of the same value and has to have the capacity to love you back or even reject you. But because a part of love is a choice. So if you're loving someone, then they don't have a choice to love you back. It is not the actual nature, the true nature of what love is supposed to be. Let's talk about equality and respect in love. See, the creation of male and female in God's image speaks to the equality of all people. Remember, I just said it has to have, it's the equality factor of having something to love that has the same value in the capacity to love you back. So you can love your car, but that's not the love that God is talking about, because the car doesn't have the capacity to love you back. You can love your animals, and I think some people feel like an animal loves them in a deeper capacity than a human can, but that's not true, because that dog or that animal is dependent upon you. So when something is dependent upon you, it still doesn't have the same equality factor to be able to love you back wholly in the fashion that God is creating us to love. And that's why he created, this thing just jumped in my spirit. That's why he created for man, woman. Oh, revelation. He created for man a woman because he created, that's why he took the bone of Adam and put it in Eve, because it was symbolic of something having the same substance as Adam, which means it gave Eve the same capacity and value to be able to love Adam back, because we can't love God the way God loves us. We're not on that level. See, that's why God has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because of the relational aspect of those three. They're the same. So the capacity to love is on the same playing field. So when God created a man, he created a part of our God-like nature, or a part of the image that's within us. Oh my God, this thing is this good. Think about it. Because God created us in his image and in his likeness and in his character, when he created the male, he had to create a female out of the male. That's why he didn't go into the dirt to recreate Eve. He went into Adam. Why? Because we were created out of God, right? So what God had to do was create a being out of us so that it can have the same capacity to love us on the same level, so that we will understand how it is to have a relationship with God, because we can't love God on his level. He's too big. But he created a woman or another human in the capacity and in the same essence, so that and also separate, with their own separate will, their own separate desires, their own separate motivations, so that when we come back together, we have a capacity to love each other on the same level. That makes love whole. And that's why marriage is such a great representation of the divine love that we have for God. So that's why when we talk about identity issues and confusion and things of that nature, and that's why the enemy hates marriage so much, because it is a humanistic example of the divine love that we have with God. He gave that example within our spouse. That's why you have to love, the Bible says, love your spouse as you love yourself. Because you're still putting that love on the same equal playing field. I hope that makes sense. I hope you got the revelation of the importance of why Eve was made out of Adam, or a piece of Adam, so that it has the same essence as Adam, so that when he brought Eve back to Adam, it has the same capacity to love each other on the same level. Because we're made out of the same stuff. Mm. I hope that went to the next level for you to understand why marriage is so powerful and means so much to God. Let's talk to the stewardship and love. The mandate to rule over other forms of life introduces the concept of stewardship. Again, this is another part of our nature, having something to steward over. In terms of love, this translates to a responsibility to care for and nurture not only relationships, but also the world around us. Love, therefore, extends beyond romantic or interpersonal relationships and encompasses a broader intrusive care for creation and community. In other words, what they're saying is a part of love is also stewardship. See, taking care of something is another aspect of showing that you love it. That's why God takes care of us, because when you take care of something, it shows that you love it. And it also is breaking down that love goes beyond just the physical relationship of another person, but it also goes to the stewardship of those things that God give us. So, for example, when I remarried my wife, and this doesn't happen, but I buy my wife a Mercedes, right? I take my hard-earned capital, I buy her a Mercedes, and I give it to her. If she doesn't take care of that car, treats it horribly, I'm going to look at that as a reflection on how she loves me. So anytime your spouse gives you something out of their hard-earned love and you don't value it and take care of it, that's a reflection most times they will feel of how you value them. So stewardship is also connected into how we love our spouses. Let's go to diversity and union. Diversity and unity. In union. Now, the creation of humanity in diverse form, male and female. We talk about the diverse form of unity, yet unified in the same divine image, suggests that love thrives in diversity. Oh, glory to God. And this is why when God is saying, when you marry someone, you marry someone that's different than you. Most times that diversity becomes a source of conflict or turmoil in relationships. That's what the enemy wants you to think. But God is saying that there is diversity in the way that we are loved, because if you love something that's exactly like you, that you don't get a reward for loving something that's exactly like you. It's when you go in the diversity of someone else that challenges us to operate in the love that God is calling us to operate in. So then coming together to work together as one. That's why they say marriage is a mystery. It's a mystery. So the diversity that you fight about and that we complain about, that same thing God is saying, no, that's also a part of love. That's why I made them male and female. I made them diverse from each other. All of this is a part of God's divine plan. And it's all wrapped into this crazy thing called love. Who? Your diversity is not your adversity. I want to say that again. Your diversity is not adversity. It is a reflection of God's love. And an opportunity to reflect God's love. Which takes us to reflecting God's love. I promise you, when I said it, I wasn't even paying attention to the next point. But that's a beautiful segue. Reflecting God's love. Being made in God's image means that our expression of love is a reflection of God's love. In relationships, this encourages us to love unconditionally, to forgive, to show grace, and to seek the best for others, just as God does us. In summary, Genesis 1:26 to 27 provides a profound basis for understanding love from a biblical perspective. This is why we need the word of God in order for us to truly understand intimate relationships. This is why God has given me divine love lessons to take scripture to be able to merge those things into our understanding of love, and for us to develop holistic relationship skills. It also suggested that love authentically is to reflect the very nature of God, to engage in respectful and equal relationships, to care for one another, to care for the world around us, and to embrace the love for humanity, as well as our partners. This is the essence of love and creation. I want you guys to make sure you do your reflection questions, your call to action, and understand how creation is symbolized and metaphorically used and how you are connecting with your spouse. Remember, guys, download your Return on Love assessment if you haven't done so. Of course, you go to michaeldballard.com, download it. This assessment is designed for those to help them to decipher through the noise in their relationships. For all of those who've already done it, and if it has been helpful, please send me an email. I would love to use that testimony to encourage other people to also take this assessment. And remember to share this post with others and help me on my journey to remix love for the kingdom of God. Again, to all my Faithful Heart community members, it's been a pleasure like always. If you're not a member yet, you can also become a member. Once you download that assessment, I will send you another link so that you can join the community or simply just subscribe to our Faithful Hearts community YouTube channel. This is your boy, Michael D. Ballard, also known as the Marriage Pastor. And again, it has been my journey to help you. I will see you on the next teaching as we go to the third lesson. I want you to know that you have been a blessing. Remember to love authentically, honestly, and guard your heart, because you only get marriage on this side of earth. You want to make sure you're doing it God's way. Love you with the love of God. I'll see you next time.